that it won't. It'll be a while yet. And you say, well, how long is a while? Well, I don't know. I really don't know, because there is a difference between fate and destiny. Or what is the difference between between fate and destiny? And can you alter one or the other? That's a good question, Mark, to think about. And how much power do we have in our lives? Really, the power that we need in our lives. Well, everyone has an opinion. Everyone has an opinion on that, and I'm not sure that mine is better than anyone else's, depending on the subject. Because there are some subjects I don't think that any one of us have the reality or the understanding of it. And I was going through a couple of songs that I had sung, and I believe I sang some of these songs here in services too. One of them is, I'm Just an Old Chunk of Coal. I don't know if you remember that particular song, but I'm going to be a diamond someday, it says. And I'm going to grow and grow until I'm blue perfect, and I'm going to put a smile on everybody's face, and I'm going to kneel and pray every day, lest I should be conveyed along the way. So I'm just an old chunk of coal, and I'm going to be a Lord someday. I'm going to be God someday. That is part of the God's family. We're going to be there and be at the helm along with our Father and Jesus Christ. And I don't know if we really totally grasp that at times on what we're literally being called for and what we're going to be doing. Because if we're going to be part of the very family of God, we are going to be spirit beings. And we came from the Father to start with, because every time that someone is counseled for baptism and hands are laid on, as they did anciently throughout the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well, for the receiving of God's Holy Spirit, comes directly from the Father. And if we equate that with our society today and recognize that all of us in the family situation produce children to populate this earth. And so God is doing it at the spiritual level, which is hard for us to understand. I wanted to mention that so many times in going to the Feast of Tabernacles especially, if we don't get a better vision of the future of what we're going to be teaching all of the people that are left over, that is, are still in the physical realm after we become spirit beings. It says we're going to be with Jesus Christ, and we are going to teach for 1,000 years all the people that are left on the face of this earth. I don't know how many it's going to be. But on top of that, at the end of the 1,000 years, there's another resurrection too, of all of those who haven't had an opportunity for salvation. So there's a lot yet to be done. I think part of what we can learn, and maybe we need to study a little more on the last two chapters of the book of Revelation, because it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And we have to recognize that we've been through that already once. Because there was a heavens and the earth, and the first man was created, named Adam. And then Eve was made from Adam and began to populate the earth. But it all ended in Noah's time, when the whole earth was destroyed. So that was the first destruction of all mankind on the face of the earth, and except for what God wanted to continue on with. And so therefore the second one. Now we are approaching the time of the end of the second, and then there's going to be a new one. Now what's that one going to be like? I really don't know per se, but I can guess it to a certain degree from the viewpoint of what God is doing. Maybe the continuation of salvation for another group of people. The reason I say that is because it says in the second and the last chapter of Revelation, you will find that it talks about more people coming along, and it says in order for them to be there and to do what they need to do, they have to keep God's laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments. So it talks about another period of time. We don't totally understand all of that, but we know that God is the one who's producing enough of the spirit beings at his side that will help him handle all that he's created and creating and making for the future. And so therefore, The second song that I've sung here had to do with being strong enough to bend. Being strong enough to bend. In other words, when things come along, do we bend and accept certain things and yet stand with the truth under all circumstances? That's what we have to do. And so the song goes like, there's a tree out in the backyard that never has been broken by the wind. How many times when we go through this life have people been broken by the trials and the tests, et cetera, and so on, they come along? And the reason it's still standing, it was strong enough to bend. And so we stayed together, the song goes on to say, as friends, and we have, and what we have will last forever if we're strong enough to bend. If we're strong enough, you see, to take the things that's coming along and still keep God's laws and commandments, and we bend when we do those things. And then the last one that I sang says, there's nothing that can't be done by we and God. There's nothing that can't be done by we and God. Why? Because we are from God, and we are spirit with God, helping him accomplish. There's nothing that can't be done by we and God. And ain't nobody going to come between we and God, the song goes on to say. And someday we'll live together where the angels trod, we and God. And so early in the morning, talking it over, we and God. We spend time talking these things over with one another. And late at night, we talk it over, we and God, as time goes on. And we're made in his image by the power of his spirit, we and God. We're made in his image. He's our father. He's our friend. The beginning and the end. And he rules the world with his staff and his rod. We're a team, we and God. So what we're going through now is accomplishing what God intended for us to accomplish in our period of time that we have now today. And that, of course, has to do with what we do spiritually. That's what I wanted to emphasize in the sermon, that period that I have here, is to recognize that it's the spiritual part. So many times, and we've seen this sometimes at the Feast of Tabernacles and at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then, of course, there's the Feast of the First Fruits, which only, I can tell you this, especially for that particular feast, only those who are in tune with God understand what that means, the Feast of the First Fruits. Others do not understand that. Now, we are living in a time today, we say, well, how come others don't understand that? The lack of God's Holy Spirit. If you have God's Holy Spirit, you can understand that. But that's the problem we have so many times, as people try to understand the Feast of the First Fruits without that power of God. And by the time you get to the Feast of Tabernacles, people's minds are focused in on the physical, but they need to understand that it's the spiritual that's looking on to the physical of that time. In other words, the first fruits will be the ones, along with Jesus Christ, who will be coming back from having been glorified by the Father, will be coming back on trumpets to be able to take over this whole world and to rule it, and also to teach all of the ones who are left over the ways of God, so that they too can become part of the family. It's all part of what God is doing, and God is not going to leave anyone out unless they totally just rebel against him and refuse to go his way. Because you see, the world for the future is a time that all are going to be speaking the same thing, all are going to do the same thing, all are going to talk about the Father. We're going to talk about one another, et cetera. So what's the difference between fate and destiny? You know, our fate, I guess you could say, to a certain degree. In other words, that's what we're going to be. What God is intending for us to be is part of his family. And what we've got to do is we've got to make sure that we are mixing properly with all the rest of the family of God. We have to understand that, because there's going to come a time. Let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew, the 24th chapter, because Jesus talks about what Daniel even talked about, and even mentions in it, we need to understand what Daniel had to say about it. But notice here in chapter Chapter 25. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish." And that's giving you an analogy of showing that some weren't ready. Some were not ready. And the foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. And that means they didn't have enough of God's Holy Spirit in them, with them, to help them to go forward. "But the wise took in their vessels with their lamps, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom comes, go you out to meet him.' And then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are about to go out.'" The Greek has to say there, "about to go out." In other words, they couldn't think very properly. So what they needed to do is go and pray and ask God to grant them more of his Holy Spirit so they could see better, so they could understand what's happening. "But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so.'" You can't take it from someone else, in other words, "lest there not be enough for us and you, but go and gather, or rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready." That's the whole point. They that were ready. Are we ready at any time for the bridegroom to come? Are we ready at any time for the coming of Jesus Christ? And we'll be ready when he comes, and we will be with him. Takes the power of God to understand that. "So went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterwards came the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say to you, I don't know you.'" Now that's another point too as well. I don't know you. Why is it that God doesn't know someone? It's because they're not functioning and actually constantly going back and forth with the power of God's Holy Spirit, talking to the Father through Jesus Christ. If we have that in our minds and that's what we're doing, then we will be ready for our future. "But he answered and said, 'Verily I say to you, I know you not. So watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes.'" But those who have God's Holy Spirit know when he's coming. Now I say that with the power of God from the viewpoint that we know that we're ready for his coming. And we know he's coming. It doesn't matter when he comes because we know we're ready. We know that we are ready for him to come because we understand the gift of the power of God's Holy Spirit. That makes us close to God and we're part of the family. And so we will be accepted when Jesus Christ returns. So it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country and who called his own servants and delivered them his goods." And the whole story was there that many didn't go along with what Jesus and the Father had to say. And so therefore, they're going to be left aside and will be later on dealt with. I want you to know this, that God himself is the one who understands everything. And we have to understand that since our Father is the one who understands everything and brought it all about, he has a purpose, and he doesn't want to lose one. Even if he has to wait until time goes on and even resurrect many from the dead to give them the opportunity. That's all part of his plan. So when you look at it, you almost want to say, well, God is not going to lose anyone. God's not going to lose anyone. But the thing of it is, it's the trials that we go through and the usage of God's Holy Spirit that takes us through. And so that's the important part of this sermonette, is those who endure to the end shall be saved. Notice what it says in Matthew 24. Matthew, the 24th chapter, where Jesus was talking about the future. Matthew 24. And it says in verse 4, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no man deceive you, and that no churches deceive you.'" There are a lot of churches around this world. There are a lot of people who meet with our group even. And we've had many and those different groups go off on their own and try to drag people after them to do their thing. We have to recognize that that's going to be until Christ returns. You're going to find the devil is very active in trying to get people to lead everybody astray and to knock out all of the ones that are going to be part of the very family of God. So take heed that no man deceive you or no church deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, you can only be deceived if you don't have enough of God's Holy Spirit to ward off that deception. So we need more of God's Holy Spirit. We need to pray every day that God just grant us the power and the strength through Jesus Christ that we can go through all of these trying times that's coming. And I know it's hard. And frankly, I think the biggest problem, too, is well with the whole church as a whole, is that we've got to stand together as one. We've got to stand together as one. And that's what we're working on, because it's the one, or the church standing together as one, that's going to be part of that resurrection to teach all other nations about God and how to stand firm in the truth and how to live with the truth. Notice verse 14, the gospel of this soon coming kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. But notice what's going to be happening too as well. It says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Now that prophecy that Daniel gave was closed up until the time of the end. So now we have two factors to think about, since we don't know when the time of the end is. We know it's still coming. That's still coming, that God's people are going to be affected by the ones who are going against God. And Thessalonians even says, someone within the group who stands up and tries to lead the people astray. And we've had that through the years. I can remember even to this day that there was a man who was very high within the church at the time and said that he was going to start a church and there's going to be 300 people in that church. And I just happened to be visiting with him, and he told me what he was going to do. And I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, and I'm going to talk to others too as well. We're going to pray and ask God through fasting that you won't do that and can't do that. This is God's church, and we're going to fight for God's church and the truth and the power and the spirit that comes as a result of that. And so when he got up to do what he wanted to do, he had about 300 people in the YMCA. He got up and said, nothing. He closed his Bible, closed his notebook, and said, brethren, I just can't do this anymore. And he left the stage. So God heard their prayer. And the last time I saw him, he was like a wandering spirit walking down the street of Altadena, not knowing what he was, where he was, etc. So God does deal with those that are trying to take care of separating people within the church. And as long as we know about it and pray about it, God will intervene. I can tell you that God will intervene, especially through fasting. We have to understand that in order to stay close to God, we have to continue to fast and ask God's blessing in that way through that power that he's given us and through fasting. So it says in verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, and I want to say that this abomination that's coming is something that has the ability to stop the spiritual part. Has the ability to stop the spiritual part, which I've already talked about. Because when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, that's Jerusalem, stand in the holy place, he so reads, let him understand. So why does it say in verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains? Why? Because this desolation's coming. And so therefore they're going to have to protect themselves from that, because what they're trying to stop is to keep the church of God. I believe that there will be a church of God in Jerusalem not too long from now. And it's going to build and it's going to grow and it's going to affect the Middle East. It's going to affect this whole world in reality, because everybody seems to be looking to Jerusalem, which in one sense they should, because that's where things are going to happen. And so if we're doing a great work over there, then we know that Satan is not going to stop doing what he's doing to try to destroy the work of God. So it says, let us flee, but don't worry about it. You can flee from there and don't worry about it, just pray about it. Because notice what it says in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world and to this time, and no shall ever be. Tremendous things going to happen. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, the ones God is working with, those days shall be shortened. And it says, lo, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, don't believe it. For there shall be false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. So that tells all of us that we've got to make sure that that's not going to happen with us. And it takes the power of God to keep it from happening. And if we stay on our knees and be praying and asking God to help us to be ready for the time that what we just experienced at the Feast of Tabernacles will be fulfilled, and we will be there as spirit beings, because we would have been resurrected earlier than that, and we're going to be there to actually bring about peace and harmony for everyone who's going to be in that area. So let's think about that, and let's pray about that, and let's recognize that we have to be doing our part as part of the family of God, and we should be anxious as we are looking forward, and also stay in contact with one another, because God's Holy Spirit is in all of us here who've been baptized, and we know that's going to continue on. And as long as we have that camaraderie and are willing to look to what God wants, it's going to be what we're going to be looking forward to and be thankful for. So keep your chin up and keep the power of God in you going forth.